Fear God. Do you have fear of God? One of the wisest men, man, wrote this scripture here. We're going to be start out in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. We'll get right into scripture. If you can't keep up going through the scripture, well, just write them down and go back and look at these for yourself and study this for yourself. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So this Solomon here has this writer, this author, he has been in both places here in a relationship with the Lord. He has lived for the Lord and he has not. And he goes through all these 12 chapters and he comes to a conclusion. And here's his conclusion. After the whole matter is said, he says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So he tells us here that we're to fear God and we're to keep his commandments, because that is your duty as a man and as woman, as a young man and a woman also, as children, that is our duty. Notice what it says there in those scriptures. It says that it'll bring every work into judgment. It even breaks that down, even secret things. So even secret things that we have in our life, they are going to be judged by God. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. See, lots of times we get to thinking about when it comes to judgment about God that it's just about evil things. But that scripture there tells us that it's not. It's also about the good things that you were supposed to have done that you didn't do. It's not only just about bad things, but it's also about the good that you did not do in your life. There is going to be judgment coming. Every one of us is going to face that judgment. It cannot be avoided. When you talk about fear, I think a lot of people, you think about like a response to a threat. Like if somebody is threatening you or your family, it's that fear that comes with that. I think when the word fear is mentioned today, that's what pops into most people's mind. But in regards to that, what do? We buy alarms for our cars. We have alarms for our houses. We got alarms on our businesses to deal with that threat of fear of being broke into, of being harmed. But fear can also be positive. Stop and think about this for a minute. People will even pay to have that feeling of fear. You've paid to go see a scary movie. You pay to go ride an amusement ride at a park for that feeling of fear. You stop thinking about it, man. We're crazy, aren't we? You know, to pay for something, to get scared. Maybe it don't scare you, but they scare me. You know, when you stop and think about that, fear actually has a positive and a negative side. That fear you get when you ride a roller coaster, and I love riding roller coasters. I don't know why. I'm scared to death of heights, but I love that fear. You know, there's people that pay to jump out of airplanes. You know, to me, that's crazy. That's what they're paying for, is that fear, that excitement. So fear can also have a positive side to it. It's not only just a negative side, but it can have a positive side. So think about this. People who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are trusting Him for their salvation. That fear of God is a positive experience. They know that the price into heaven has been paid. There had to be a price. There is a ticket to get to heaven, and Christ has paid for it. that. If you have a relationship with Christ, if you have put your trust in salvation through Jesus Christ, no other way, you know that price has been paid. That is that fear, there is a positive experience there. So Judgment Day brings no fear. But you look on the negative side of that, and people who have not received Christ, and if they have not received Him, that means they have rejected Him. There is fear of judgment coming. That fear is negative. And that's what the author in Ecclesiastes is saying here. In his final conclusion, he says it cannot be avoided at the end of this life. Everything that he had pursued, everything that he had accomplished in his life, all the material things that he had were meaningless. Because when you're standing before God, all of that does not matter. Stop and think about it. Everything that you want to acquire in this world, in this life, if you're standing before God tomorrow, it doesn't matter, does it? He also gives a word of caution. If you back up to chapter 12, verse 1, he says, Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He says, remember your Creator. Remember Him in the days of your youth, because one day you're going to have to be judged, and you're also going to be judged for that secret thing that nobody knows about. You're going to be judged for those good things that you didn't do. You're going to be judged for those evil things. And I want to point out, when it talks about the word evil in the Bible, it's not like evil like we think about. It's actually the opposite of good. It doesn't have to be you don't have to be an axe murderer. You don't have to be a rapist. It's just the opposite of good. So we're going to be judged for that. So you take that word fear, how does that apply to our lives today? It says live in the fear of God. How does that apply for us today? That truth is for today. You know, a lot of times we get to thinking that's for Old Testament times when they feared God. No, it's not. It's for today, and it's for right now. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 10. I'm going to read 10 through 18. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, but unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp. I was trying to make it difficult, wasn't I? That's easy to say. The poison of their asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is what? No fear of God before their eyes. Does that sound like our country today? How about in the future? How about in relation to fear? How about in the future? Let's look at Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 through 4. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not, what? Fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. If you go back to verse 1, I'm not going to look there, but he starts out in there in that same chapter, I saw another sign in heaven. He's talking about what's going on in heaven there, and there is even going to be a fear of God in heaven. That fear of God is going to continue. So when you talk about fear, that fear of God, it begins when believers gain that true knowledge of their Creator. When they come to the realization of who their Creator is and who their Savior is, that's when it becomes real to you, and that's when that fear of God becomes a good thing. It no longer becomes a negative part of your life, but that fear becomes good. Proverbs chapter 1 is where it starts. Man, did you hear my stomach growling? That was loud. Proverbs chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you realize what Christ has done for you and how much power that He has and how much love He has for you. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, and let's see what Peter says about fear. 1 Peter 1, 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, we talked about that in Sunday school class, He loves us all the same. We're all the same in His eyes. So without respect of persons, He judgeth according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in what? Fear. In fear. What does Paul say about it in the book of Ephesians chapter 5? Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I think NIV uses the word reference, and if you take that word, it's translated from the same Greek word that they get the word fear. So do we really, really fear God today? Even as Christians, do we have the kind of fear that we should have in reference before God? How do you practice the fear of God in our world today? In your life today, how can you practice that fear of God in your life? Remember, if you're saved, if you're born again believer, you have that positive fear. It's not a negative fear. It's not about a fear of judgment, but a fear of reference of awe of His holiness. The first thing we need to do is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, I got mine all. Did I give you that one? Proverbs 20, verse 9. See if I can beat him. Oh, nope. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin? Who can say that? Who can say that you are pure from sin? Say, well, I've never sinned. Well, I'm telling you this morning, I cannot do that. I can't stand up here and say that I am pure from sin. The only way that I am pure from sin is from the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. So the first thing we can do to practice fear from a biblical standpoint in today's world, in our lives that we live, is to realize that we're sinners and to realize that we can do nothing without Christ. Realize your need for a Savior. What should be the response to fear of God today in the book of Luke? In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, this is Jesus' words. And He says, I say unto you, my friends, Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Whew. Man, that, you got to just stop and let that soak in for a minute. I mean, you got to recognize the goodness of God in this. You got to recognize that the value that you are to Him. You got to recognize how much He loves you. God is to be feared, but it's to be in a holy and an awe and a worship for Him. As you see Him reaching out, as you see Him and you starting to understand how much He values you and how much he loves you. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Do you have that fear of God? Psalms 95. It says, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. This psalm tells us, basically, do not refuse God's gracious offer. Tells us not to harden our hearts. Tells us to bow and worship, to recognize that He is God and that He is Creator. You need to realize this morning that He desires for us to come near to Him. And He has that desire for us to come near to Him so much that He sent His Son Jesus to take our place, to take up on our sin, to bridge that gap between you and God. And He wants you not only to see the fear that you need to have, but to see the love. Final scripture, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have what? Boldness in that day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. because fear hath no torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. See, he loved us so much that we don't have to live in fear if you have been born again. We live not in fear of punishment. We live not in fear of judgment. We live with confidence that God has accepted us, knowing that he loved us and that he done his part in making us fit to enter into his presence with confidence. What God desires from you this morning is a heart change. A heart change that comes from deep within, that has experienced and encountered God's holiness. And as a result of that, you have a fear and a reverence for God. Amen? Do you have that fear? Each one of us should have a fear for God here this morning. But I've got to ask you a personal question. Is it a positive fear or is it a negative fear? You see, if it's a negative fear, the future don't look bright. If it's a negative fear, if you got that negative fear of God, or if you don't have the fear of God at all, you're going to hell. It's plain and simple as that. You're going to face judgment for the good things that you did not do, for the evil that you done. There's judgment coming for each one of us. God is no respecter of persons. That's what the Scripture says. And it doesn't make me any better than you. I'm a sinner just like you are. But when you're born again, it puts you in a better position. Because he paid the price. He shed his blood for your sins. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he valued you. And I want you to think about this thought just for a minute. The hair that you have on your head, and when that talks about head, that includes your face, right? Each one of them is numbered. He numbered. He knows how many hairs are on your head. That's how much of a value you are to him. That's how much he loves you. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. But see, to get rid of that fear of judgment, that negative fear, you have to accept and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to give someone the opportunity to come to know God in a different way this morning. To get rid of that negative fear and replace it with a positive fear.